today on Family Talk.
Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, filling in for Dr. Dobson today, while Dr. Dobson is currently in the Holy Land of Israel. He's traveled there alongside other Christian leaders to meet with government representatives about the pending move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. So as you go about your day, be sure to lift up the entire delegation in prayer and ask that God would move in miraculous ways through these meetings. Now, in today's edition of Family Talk, you'll hear part two of a classic interview Dr. Dobson did with our good friends Joel Rosenberg and Tom Doyle. They'll be talking today about how their organizations support the state of Israel in the midst of the turbulent Middle East and how they proclaim the gospel to that lost sector of the world. Here now is the conclusion to a program we've titled A Look at Modern Day Israel on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
And if our listeners missed the program last time, first of all, shame on you. You ought to be listening every day. And if you didn't, we'll forgive you, but you can go to our podcast. That's how I listen to the broadcast. Or you can go to the website, or you can get a CD of the program. And to fully understand what we're going to do today, you almost have to listen to the first half of it, which we discussed yesterday. Now, we had with us last time two gentlemen who are far more knowledgeable of this subject than I am, and they're back with us today. And it was so much fun talking to them about the scripture and about what is taking place. Joel Rosenberg was our guest. He is a best-selling author of books such as Epicenter, which is a nonfiction work, and The Ezekiel Option, a novel. Joel is the founder of the Joshua Fund, a nonprofit organization with the goal of blessing Israel and providing humanitarian relief to Israel and Arab countries. He has served previously as a senior advisor to former Israeli Deputy Prime Minister Nathan Sharansky and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's an evangelical Christian with Jewish roots and holds a BA in films from Syracuse University. Tom Doyle is with us. Pastor Doyle joins us for the first time on this broadcast. He and I have been great friends for a good while. He works with Arabs and Jews through an organization called E3 Partners and serves as the Middle East director for this church planning organization. Tom and his wife Joanne began leading tours to Israel in 1995. Before that, he was a pastor for 20 years at Tri-Lakes Chapel here in Monument, right up the road from us. Now, he's authored a book called Two Nations Under God, which explains why America should care about what happens in Israel and the Middle East. Tom holds an honorary doctorate from Asia Theological Seminary and a master's from Dallas Theological Seminary. It is so good to have you all back with us. That was a stimulating discussion yesterday. I don't know how our listeners felt about it, but I tell you, I loved every minute of it. And we're going to pick up right there. Joel, what is going on in Israel as they celebrate the 60th anniversary, and what is its significance for Christians and for people of the world?
Well, in Israel itself, it's, of course, an amazing time of excitement. On the one hand, they have celebrated Memorial Day, which always goes right before Independence Day, celebrating the more than 22,000 Jewish soldiers that have lost their lives defending the Jewish state. And then they celebrate Independence Day, fireworks and parties, and, you know, kids are home from school, and it's a pretty raucous time. When you're a Jew who was born in Israel or emigrated to Israel, escaped from anti-Semitism, your parents or grandparents may have been Holocaust survivors, to be in a country, one country, that says, if you're a Jew, you're safe here, it's a pretty powerful thing, and it's great reason to celebrate. At the same time, there are countries not celebrating around it. Iran, Syria, Lebanon, other countries are preparing to annihilate Israel.
How do they live with the anxiety of that?
Well, Jews have lived with anxiety about people wanting to destroy us for a long time. You know, Dr. Dobson, I remember a Far Side.
By the way, you said us because your father is Jewish.
Yes, my father was raised Orthodox Jewish. his family as Orthodox Jews escaped out of Russia around 1907. He now is a believer that Jesus is the Messiah. And my mom is an English Methodist WASP.
And is
that
here
side of the family.
Today.
And both of them are here with me today. And it's an honor. And both of them came to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior in 1973. So some people would say, I'm not Jewish because my mother's not. Other would say, with a name like Joel Rosenberg, it's got to be Jewish. So I let other people argue over that.
Now, I interrupted you in mid-thought. Go ahead.
Well, the basic idea is that there was a Far Side cartoon back in the 1980s done by Gary Larson, little funny animals with funny little sayings. And there were two deer standing in the forest, and one deer had a bullseye on its chest. Mm. And the deer without the bullseye said to the deer with the bullseye, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal."
That's his best-known cartoon.
Yeah, it's my favorite. And that's what it feels like to be Jewish in the world, that you've been born with a bullseye. And people say, oh, you Jews, you're the chosen people. You think you're so great. Well, you know, we're like, God could have chosen someone else, really. I mean, like, Hitler chose us. Ahmadinejad chose us. The Pharaoh chose us. Stalin, let him choose somebody else. We're okay with that.
Do you remember Tevier and Fiddler on the Roof said, can't once in a while you choose somebody else?
That's the feeling. So why do we get all the curses of all these people hating us and wanting to annihilate us? What is that? Where did that come from? So Jews know this. It's just part of Jewish life. And it causes a lot of sadness. But that's why Israel had to be in the modern age. You know, a lot of Jews who recreated the Jewish state did not do so for biblical reasons. They did so for pure survival reasons. And it happened to converge with God's plan and purpose. Mm. But it's a sanctuary.
Mm. Tom, you're there in the Middle East often because you want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you find great receptivity there, which is amazing.
It really is amazing. I was just thinking about what Joel was saying, how they're surrounded when you look at what's happened in Gaza and that Hezbollah taking over Lebanon and then Syria and Iran and what's happening in the West Bank now, which is Israel's East Bank on the Jordan. And it's just they're surrounded. But the believers have come together. And the exciting thing, Dr. Dobson, is to see Arabs and Jews coming together, praying together. We know of a pastor's meeting that happened with Jewish Messianic pastors and Arab pastors a few years ago. They came together and prayed for 3 days. And it was a great meeting. It was pretty historic for them to come together. They kind of do their own thing, each group. They came together and prayed 3 days, and it was over. And they asked a Palestinian, an Arab pastor, to stand up and pray at the close of the prayer meeting. And this is what he prayed. He said, "Lord, give me so much love for my Jewish brother over here that I'd be willing to lay down my life and die for him."
Wow.
And that was his prayer, and he sat down. And a Messianic pastor, Jewish believer, stood up, and he just said, "God, forgive me. Give me so much love for this Palestinian pastor that I would be willing, he's my brother in Christ, let me be willing to lay down my life for him." And you know, they'd had a prayer meeting for 3 days. And of course, at the end of the prayer meeting, that's when God really shows up in power. So they went 3 more days. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that in different congregations where you can be in an Arab congregation and a Jewish believer, a pastor will come in and he has on his prayer shawl and he blows the shofar and the people love it. And the same thing happens in a Messianic church. Arab pastor comes in dressed like a Bedouin and talks about his people and the history and that. And the believers love it because they know this is the only thing that solves it. This is it. Ephesians 2, the dividing wall coming down between Jew and Gentile is happening in Israel. Both groups, Arabs and Jews, are so desperate. Arabs, because of Muslims not thinking kindly of them converting, and then Jews with their situation, they've come together.
Tom, you often come back from those trips and come in and share with me what's taking place. And it's one story right after another of the most unlikely results in a land of anger and hostility and hatred. People are finding love.
Absolutely.
Love for Jesus Christ and then love for each other.
See, and that's the real message. I know of a Jewish man that was going through a checkpoint into a Palestinian area. The guy that was at the checkpoint was a Muslim, did not like him that he was Jewish, but he was coming in and he started to question him. He really pushed him around. The Jewish man was a believer. And finally, this Palestinian soldier just beat him up, beat the tar out of him right there, got up. He was bloody. He was bruised. And this Arab that was this fanatic told me later, he said, this Jewish believing man got up and said, you know what? Jesus told me I'm supposed to love my enemies. And you probably think I'm an enemy, but I don't think you're an enemy. And I'm sure you got a tough situation and it's tough on your family. But I just want you to know I love you. I'm going to be praying for you. He reached out and hugged him and walked off. This Muslim man said, I didn't know what to do with that. We had hate, we had anger, we didn't have that kind of love. That man right now, Dr. Dobson, is a pastor. That Arab became a believer. He's a pastor somewhere in the Middle East. God used that.
Is there any greater thrill in your life than seeing that happen?
That's amazing.
And to put that into context, in 1967, when I was born, 41 years ago, there were only a few dozen Jewish people in Israel who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. A few dozen, maybe 30, 40. Today, there are 15,000 Israelis who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. We've gone, that's an enormous surge.
It is legal to convert, is that right?
Well, we don't consider it converting. When you're a Jew who accepts the Jewish Messiah, now you've been completed. But yes, in terms of your heart changing.
They don't call themselves Christian.
No.
But they serve Christ.
Exactly. And Christ being the Greek word, Messiah being the Hebrew word. So most of them call themselves Messianic Jews, meaning Jews who've met the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah. This is a huge development. I mean, you remember in the early, in the book of Acts, there were 120 believers, then 3,000, then 5,000, and things began to accelerate. We're seeing that happen right now. And in 1967, there were only three congregations in all of Israel where Jews could meet together to worship Jesus as the Savior. Today, there are 150. And what you're seeing is, as they grow in numbers and in depth of their relationship with Jesus, they are reaching out to their Palestinian brothers and vice versa. This is dramatic, and it's consistent with the scriptures.
Tom, what about in Muslim countries? What about in Syria, in Iraq, and Iran? And are there examples like this?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many. There was a man that was in Syria that was had the believers had shared the gospel with him. He was not ready to respond. He was Muslim and pretty fanatical about it. But he had kidney failure and went in the hospital, and it looked like he was not going to make it. He was going to die. In fact, his family was preparing for the funeral. And he says, this is what happened. He woke up, and there was a man in a white robe, and he said, I'm Jesus. I'm going to heal you for my glory. And he touched him, and the next morning, he was fine. And the doctors came in, and they were asking him what happened, and he said, Jesus came and touched me. Jesus did. They said, it couldn't be Jesus. It was probably a good Muslim man. He said, no, it was Jesus. And one of the doctors said, hey, Jesus doesn't come to Syria. And he said, no, this was Jesus. And I know it was Jesus because I never met a Muslim man with nail prints in his hands and in his feet. This man is a believer. His whole household is. And God's moving in power. He's going after them with dramatic things that are happening, whether it's Iraq, Iran, Syria.
We're meeting rabbis who are secretly believers in Jesus. They don't want to say it publicly, but they are. Israeli soldiers, people up and down throughout the Israeli society, as you're seeing in Iran, as you're seeing in Iraq. I just got back from Iraq. I met former Sunni terrorists who have come to faith in Jesus and are now evangelists and pastors. We're seeing the same thing, not the terrorist side of it, but people in Israel and around the region are so hungry for peace that they are looking to the Prince of Peace for the first time in history.
Tom, you were a pastor for 20 years. Why did you resign from that responsibility and pour yourself into the Middle East?
Well, it was a call of God. It wasn't. God was working in my wife Joanne's heart, and I preached a sermon the first Sunday in June of 2001, and it was like a ticker tape went across the screen. I sat down, and God said, that's your last sermon at Tri Lakes Chapel. And we knew it was going into the Middle East to work with people. We wanted to go in and help believers, help them disciple new believers and start new churches. And so we went. It was a call from God. We loved our church. It was a great church. Good things were happening. They weren't throwing us out. You know, it was good. It was all good. But we just had no idea the journey we'd be on. And it's been amazing. Mm. 2 months later, 911 happened. And yeah. People said, you can't go there. You can't even go to the Middle East. You can't bring Christ there. And so we went. And Alan, who's in the audience here, Alan Riedel, we went into Gaza. And as soon as we got into the Gaza Strip, this Muslim woman comes up to us and grabs us and says, you know, did you see people in Gaza cheering when the buildings fell down in America on September 11th? Did you see that on the news? And we said, yes, we did. And she said, well, not me. I was crying for those people. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, we can work with these people. They have a heart. They're created in the image of God, and they need a Savior. And since then, it's just been an amazing, mm-hmm. an amazing life. We love it.
You know, Joel, my wife Shirley and I have been reading First Chronicles, and about 3 days ago we read chapter 17, which is describing David's last days on earth. And one morning, Nathan the prophet came to David and said that the Lord had spoken to him the previous night through a dream. And in the dream, God told him that David's son, it turned out to be Solomon, although he was not named at that point, would build a temple. And then there would be a person in his bloodline on the throne forever. Forever. And how could that be? Forever is forever. I mean, it didn't say for 1,000 years. It said forever. And the only way that that could be fulfilled is through Jesus, right. who is now on the throne. Now, it's really exciting reading those Old Testament scriptures. Psalms 122 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
And that's not the Yasser Arafat edition where it says, pray for a peace of Jerusalem and then kill all the Jews and then get the whole thing.
Right.
This
yeah.
is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The psalmist commands us that. But and it's the lack of peace, geopolitical and personal, that's opening the doors in Israel and in the Muslim yes. world to people thinking, you know what? Whatever religious system I was brought up in, it is not working. I don't have peace. I don't have hope. I don't have assurance of salvation. And that's why they're hungering to hear the love and the power of Jesus. And people are responding, Jews and Muslims, in numbers we have absolutely never seen on the history of the planet to date. And this is the moment to ask ourselves, as followers of Jesus in the United States, Canada, wherever your listeners are listening, the question is, okay, so what? So what? God is working, and what is our role in it? And I think that's the big question at the 60th anniversary that all Christians need to ask themselves. How can I bless Israel and her neighbors in the name of Jesus?
And that brings us, as Christians, to the Great Commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what this is all about. We're getting near the end of our time here. Let me ask each of you to describe your ministries very, very briefly and let people know how they can get in touch with you. Tom, I'll start with you. Your ministry is called E3 Partners.
Right. And E3, the three E's are we equip believers to evangelize their nation and establish new churches. And so for us, our touchdown is when a church is planted. It's probably a house church because it's most certainly in dangerous areas, but they get quite large. And we just know that believers, to grow in their faith, need systematic Bible teaching. They need to celebrate the Lord's Supper, baptism. They need to pray together. They need to worship. And so when these houses, churches, and some of them are above ground, come together, then they have a chance to really grow. And in some cases, in Israel, we're seeing Arabs and Jews worship together. Mm. And you think about that. I mean, that goes way back before 48. That's 4,000 years, Isaac and Ishmael, and them coming together and dropping all their past history and the bitterness that they could have with each other, loving each other and worshiping. That's about the sweetest worship service I think I've ever been in, to see Arabs and Jews praising God together.
What is your website? How can people get in touch
with you? Okay, it's e3partners.org, and they can go on there and find out what's happening around the world and get involved. Pray and get involved.
Okay, Joel, describe the Joshua Fund for us.
Well, the Joshua Fund is a nonprofit organization that my wife and I set up 2 years ago, summer of 2006, with a specific mission to bless Israel and her neighbors in the name of Jesus, according to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the famous verses where God says he will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse the children of Israel. Our point as a couple was to say, look, I can't just write fictional novels about all the terrible things that will happen in the Middle East in the last days and how this will affect us. Even though it's Bible prophecy, it's still quite traumatic. But there's traumatic things happening in the Middle East today. And I felt that Lynn and I needed to be about providing food and clothing and medical supplies and other humanitarian relief to Israelis, but also to Palestinians, to Iraqis, and others in the name of Jesus.
How great is that need?
Mm. It's enormous. One in five Israelis live on less than $500 a month. One in four Israelis live on less than $800 a month. And there's enormous poverty, mostly because you've got immigrants coming from all over the world as Jews with nothing. They don't have anything. And they speak a different language, and they don't know how to turn whatever professional skills they may have had in Sudan or Russia or Iran or Iraq into something usable in Israel. So there are needs now. And the thing is this, you know, Jesus told us in Matthew 25 to feed the hungry, give water to the thirsty, clothe the naked, care for the suffering. Now, we need to do that with unconditional love. That's what the Joshua Fund is about. In other words, people don't have to become followers of Jesus to get the humanitarian aid that we provide. Obviously, we want people to become followers of Jesus, but you need to do this work with unconditional love and unwavering support, and that's what the Joshua Fund is about.
And give us your website so people can contact you.
The Joshua Fund is joshuafund.net. And it gives all the details about who we are, why we're doing what we're doing, and there's a weblog that sort of tracks updates with the project.
Tom, any last thing you want to say?
I would close with this. God bless Israel for all that they've been through, for major wars every decade, how they have survived and persevered. And the only way you can explain it is God. Frederick the Great was asking one of his servants, why should I believe in God? And the servant said, I can tell you in one word, Israel. There should be no Jews left when you look at all the systematic killings, pogroms, wars, everything they've been through. And God has his hand on these people.
Estimates are that there should have been 120 to 140 million Jews by 1948 if there had not been such persecution through the centuries. As it was, there were only 12 million left. We're almost done. Joel?
Well, what we try to do with Joshua Fund, and when I speak around the world, I try to give people four quick, simple principles to think about Israel and her neighbors. Learn, pray, give, and go. Learn about what God's doing in the Middle East, and pray knowledgeably and consistently for believers as well as unbelievers in the region. Give to ministries that are making a real difference.
You could think of a couple of them.
Well, we're not the only ones, but, but we're excited about what we're doing. And I love what Tom is doing. Love it. And then go. Meaning go on a prayer and vision trip. And maybe God's calling you to actually go and serve in one of these countries long term. So learn, pray, give, and go.
That's right.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us today, and especially for your passion for the people of the Middle East, both Jews and Arabs. May the Lord continue to bless your ministries.
Thank you.
And we hope that you have enjoyed this vintage interview over the past couple of days here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, and hope that it's made you realize the importance of standing with Israel. Now, if you missed day one on yesterday's program, head over to our broadcast page today at drjamesdobson.org. There you'll find a link for part one of this conversation. You'll also find information on Joel Rosenberg's ministry, the Joshua Fund, as well as Tom Doyle's organization, E3 Partners. Find all of this at drjamesdobson.org and then click on today's broadcast tab. You know, the main mission of Family Talk is to uphold and strengthen the foundation of the Christian family, which is so heavily under attack in today's culture. If you are looking for some help on parenting your children or would like to find some helpful materials to grow you and your spouse's relationship, go now to the resources page at drjamesdobson.org. We have numerous articles, DVDs, blogs, newsletters, books, and so much more on various issues facing the family. So hurry to drjamesdobson.org to look through the massive library of useful and effective materials under our resources tab. As we conclude today's broadcast, we ask that you take a moment and think about partnering with us here at Family Talk. Every dollar you are able to bless our ministry with immensely impacts our listeners and those in need. You can go to drjamesdobson.org to pledge your support securely online. You can call toll-free 877-732-6825 to give a gift by phone. Again, that toll-free number is 877-732-6825. I'm Roger Marsh. Be sure to join us again tomorrow to hear a great conversation featuring Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Chap Clark on the issue of parenting the troubled and hurting teenager. It's a very deep and meaningful discussion that you won't want to miss. That's coming up next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.